The Mirror of the Sea by Joseph Conrad, Chapters 1 to 3. Less, perhaps, than any other book written by me or anybody else, does this volume require a preface. Yet since all the others, including even the personal record, which is but a fragment of biography, are to have their author's notes, I cannot possibly leave this one without, lest a false impression of indifference or weariness should be created. I can see only too well that it is not going to be an easy task. Necessity, the mother of invention, being even unthinkable in this case, I do not know what to invent in the way of discourse, and necessity being also the greatest possible incentive to exertion, I don't even know how to begin to exert myself. Here, too, the natural inclination comes in. I have been all my life averse from exertion. Under these discouraging circumstances, I am, however, bound to proceed with a sense of duty. This note is a thing promised. In less than a minute's time, by a few incautious words, I entered into a bond which has lain in my heart heavily ever since. For this book is a very intimate revelation, and what that is revealing can a few more pages add to some 300 others of most sincere disclosures. I have attempted here to lay bare with the unreserve of a last hour's confession the terms of my relation with the sea, which, beginning mysteriously, like any great passion the inscrutable gods send to the mortals, went on unreasoning and invincible, surviving the test of disillusion, defying the disenchantment that lurks in every day of a strenuous life, went on full of love's delight and love's anguish, facing them in open-eyed exultation, without bitterness and without repining, from the first hour to the last. Subjugated but never unmanned, I surrendered my being to that passion which various and great, like life itself, had also its periods of wonderful serenity, which even a fickle mistress can give sometimes on her soothed breast, full of wiles, full of fury, and yet capable of an enchanting sweetness. And if anybody suggests that this must be the lyric illusion of an old romantic heart, I can answer that for 20 years I had lived like a hermit with my passion. Beyond the line of the sea horizon, the world for me did not exist, as assuredly as it does not exist for the mystics who take refuge on the tops of high mountains. I am speaking now of that innermost life, containing the best and the worst that can happen to us in the temperamental depths of our being, where a man indeed must live alone, but need not give up all hope of holding converse with his kind. This, perhaps, is enough for me to say on this particular occasion about these, my parting words, about this, my last mood in my great passion for the sea. I call it great because it was great to me. Others may call it a foolish infatuation. Those words have been applied to every love story. But whatever it may be, the fact remains that it was something too great for words. This is what I always felt vaguely, and therefore the following pages rest like a true confession on matters of fact which to a friendly and charitable person may convey the inner truth of almost a lifetime. From 16 to 36 cannot be called an age, yet it is a pretty long stretch of that sort of experience which teaches a man slowly to see and feel. It is for me a distinct period, and when I emerged from it into another air, as it were, and said to myself, "Now I must speak of these things, or remain unknown to the end of my days," it was with the ineradicable hope that accompanies one through solitude, as well as through a crowd, of ultimately some day, at some moment, making